CNBC TV 18 presents the AI Dialogues in association with IBM.
Hello and welcome to our special podcast episode of CNBC TV 18 presents AI Dialogues in association with IBM. The AI Dialogues campaign delves into the exciting synergy between AI, various business functions, and diverse industries, exploring how organizations can harness its vast potential to outperform competitors, streamline operations, and unlock new revenue streams. In our exclusive conversation today, we'll focus on AI and its transformative impact on the BFSI industry. Building on the insights from our past roundtable discussion on AI and BFSI with eminent industry leaders, where we delved into the dynamic intersection of artificial intelligence and the banking sector, we continue our exploration into how AI is revolutionizing banking experiences and operational efficiencies. And to shed light on the phenomenal impact of AI in BFSI and uncover how AI-powered solutions and strategies can drive growth and innovation, we have with us Avinash Raghavendra, President, IT Axis Bank, and Vishwanath Ramaswamy, Vice President, Technology Leader at IBM. Gentlemen, very excited to be here and hear your thoughts. Avinash, let me start with you. Now, AI has been around in banks for a while now, but now it's generative AI which has captured everyone's imagination. So just to set the context as we begin our discussion, can you differentiate between classical AI or traditional AI and generative AI and how both these two are used in Axis Bank?
So this is one analogy that I like giving. Look at classical AI, which has been there for some time now, as a bright student going to a top college. Okay. So the journey is there. I mean, the student is currently learning with various data sets. I mean, he's experimenting with data sets. And, as the student experiments with data sets, I mean, the more he starts learning, you know, he goes through its first sem, the second semester, the third semester, etc. And obviously, you know, the more the student learns, the more conversant he becomes with the data set which he or her has been imbibing. Okay. And the way to look at generative AI, though, on the other hand, is an absolute expert, a top-notch guy who's graduating out of, say, Harvard or MIT, right? I mean, this is a person who can sort of generate the data sets. He or she does not really need to sort of, you know, work on data sets. Now, what do I mean by that? In the good old days, and since I'm sitting next to Vishy from IBM, let me use a chess example, right? Given the fact that, okay, Deep Blue and Garry Kasparov history is there over here. If you think about, say, computer chess, which I think all of us have tried it out at, I mean, in computer chess, what essentially happens is there are a bunch of patterns, strategies, which the software knows. So when you're playing against the software, I mean, the software is basically sort of, you know, coming up with the right moves basis the patterns that it has learned. There's no innovation which is essentially happening over there. What generative AI tries to do is it tries to innovate. So if I have to summarize, I mean, one is pattern recognition, while the other one is basically, you know, pattern creation. So if you were to fast forward to the world of generative AI today, and when you go to OpenAI and you ask it a question, or if you were to ask it to sort of, you know, come up with a story, the reason it is able to come up with a story is because it's been trained in a particular manner where it is actually able to generate something afresh. Now, this is not something which has been created in the past. It has learned out of the data sets to create its own data sets. So the pattern generation part that I'm sort of talking about. And this is something which has sort of, you know, exploded big time. I mean, you see it in terms of videos, you see it in terms of audios, you are now seeing it definitely in form of text. So these are two slightly different worlds. In the classical AI, I mean, you had to spend a lot of time trying to train the particular data, train the models, right? And basis that it used to do something which used to obviously be useful, but there was, you know, a lot of time which used to be spent. In fact, within the banking context, I can basically tell you, I mean, we have sort of had arguments with technology company professionals like Vishy over here by basically saying that, boss, I mean, you are making us, you know, almost create a university because we have to train such a lot of things and it takes us 6 months, 8 months to sort of, you know, learn. Now, all of that has to a certain extent gone away. We have the trained items, But what we now have to do is to prompt the right questions, which is where, you know, the prompt engineering part of it sort of becomes, it's the new lexicon. I mean, there was no such thing as prompt engineering before Gen AI.
Vishy, you want to expand on that point? In the broader financial services in the banking universe, classical AI versus generative AI?
Fundamentally, generative AI suggests in the word itself, right? Generating something, right? That's like going as basic as it can. So it is generating something from something, right? So a generative AI creates new sets of content, new sets of data sets, new models, and it's an ever evolving trained model, right? The model is always on the always on the training mode, right? So that's fundamentally generative AI, and which is where Avinash talked about prompt engineering and all of those really kick in. Whereas in a classical AI, you typically don't have that. I would put it more so simply that a calculator is also an AI machine that you add 1 plus 1, it will give an answer of 2, right? But are you thinking of 1 plus 1, which will give 2? Can you prompt that to a machine model? That is generative AI, right? Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. Now, when you come to the banking and financial services space in India and outside in the globe as well, innumerous use cases, right? A lot of use cases where they're moving from a model of an AI-based model to a generative AI because they want to kind of go with a particular business outcome or a use case which could enhance either a new revenue stream for the bank or the financial services sector, or it could enrich a client experience that a consumer of any bank, an Axis Bank or any other bank, am I enriching the experience of the consumer? Can generative AI play a role? Or it could even enrich the experience of the employee of an organization as well, right? Within banks, there are a large number of employees. How do I enrich the experience of an employee, right? So there are use cases out there where they're looking at it. How do I automate the whole thing and make it more systemic in nature, which are repetitive tasks, which can be done much more efficiently and probably have the people put in higher productive jobs, right? Can that be another use case? So there are innumerous number of use cases, and they're just evolving by the day, right? You have so many problems which may not be obvious to our eyes, but hey, can technology or generative AI solve the problem? And we have seen a lot of pilots going around that.
But Avinash, talking about Axis Bank in particular. Now, Axis Bank has always been tech inclined. But with Axis Bank 2.0, you've taken a significant leap. And you want to set global standards in people, in processes, and technology. So talk to us about how you're using AI and generative AI in terms of use cases. Vishy gave us a few about, you know, customized experiences, enriching a customer's experience. But if you could just break that down for us at Axis Bank.
See, like I mentioned, right? I mean, classical AI has been there for a very long time. I mean, if you think about it, the areas where we have been using classical AI practically close to a decade or more, would be in terms of the credit functions. If you look at a fraud rules and in terms of, you know, some of the real-term declines that we end up doing basis this fraud rules, a lot of these have been AI-driven. So the classical AI part, like I said, has been there for a decade and we continue to stay invested in it. Now, in terms of Gen AI, what are we trying to do over here? We believe that, okay, we can sort of, you know, take this to the next level with Gen AI. Axis Bank itself, there are experiments happening on the trade side, there are experiments happening on the credit side, there are experiments happening on the home loans. Very similarly, everybody speaks about conversational AI and, you know, the capabilities around it. I mean, we are no different. I mean, there are certain experiments which are going on. In banks, attrition has been a big issue, okay, which effectively means it's a lot more at an acceptable stage this year. But the couple of years of COVID, I mean, things had sort of gone through the roof. So the one big learning for us really has been about the fact that, okay, how do we sort of have a friend for our employee base out there, you know, especially the branch staff or the sales staff, right? And where, you know, if the even a newcomer were to sort of pose a question, I mean, he gets an answer. It's a Google equivalent. But the point over here is, I mean, in the past, it used to be the classical AI, which used to sort of, you know, inference an answer basis the data which used to be given. Now, in Gen AI, what we are able to do is we are able to sort of, you know, fast track it manifold. I mean, what used to take us 6 to 8 months, potentially that kind of a product document, we are actually able to load it and basically get it out in about a month or so. Yes, there are a lot of checks and balances in terms of the fact that, okay, the document, given the fact that it can invent, it should not end up hallucinating, as the Gen AI lexicon basically goes. But to that extent, I mean, as long as we ground the documents, we are finding that, okay, the there is a wow moment, you know, in terms of some of the responses which essentially comes out. We are looking at use cases on the fraud area. We are looking at use cases in terms of cybersecurity, which is a big area, right? I mean, for a large banks, I mean, there are millions of events that we end up sort of encountering. In the past, there have been very traditional pre-trained models. Now we are essentially trying to see whether some patterns can be identified because there are new threat vectors which are sort of, you know, emerging on a daily basis. The other big area where obviously we are going to be put a lot of focus on is in terms of, you know, how can it be a differentiator for the customers? And I think as we do more and more experiments, there are more and more ideas which are sort of, you know, coming out.
So early days, tremendous potential, lots of use cases, but it's 2 to 3 years away. In the next 12 months, if either of you want to chime in, which can go mainstream or commercial, according to you, as a use case?
In the banking space, I think mainstream, everything we are testing waters, right? But some of the quick ones which can really go in from a banking industry, especially when Aminash, I'll take the cue from Aminash, is large documentation, right? How do you kind of get into a summarization mode of, at the same time, by the way, banking is a very highly regulated industry, right? Let's not forget the fact that it's highly regulated industry. It has to follow very strict norms. And if I were to say that, what is a quick one which you could do? Probably a client experience, like how personalized experience can I give for a consumer of the bank? That's one classic use case, which can quickly, that is basically you're taking an evolution or a giant leap from the traditional chatbots to the next level, making it very personalized. That could be one classical use case. Second could be summarization of all the documentation which the banks have to go through as well. That's another classical use case which can kind of get through into more a faster mode of higher level of accuracy and so on and so forth. And third, I would say, which we have implemented internally within IBM as well and could be true for any industry, is how do you give the employee experience of, to the point what Avinash said, that a branch which was there in the remote nook and corner of the country, and the sales teams and the bank teams, how do they have the same level of experience as the branch which is there in Mumbai, right? How do you can give a seamless single platform experience for employees? I would say these are the three top of the mind which can really come in.
And this is a study conducted by RBI in 2023, which indicated that public sector banks were more likely to have adopted chatbots and virtual assistants powered by AI and machine learning compared to private sector banks. Mm-hmm. This comes as a bit of a revelation and a surprise. What, according to you, is the reason behind this? And does the trend still exist that PSUs perhaps are a step ahead?
So let me reference a recent report that I read, which basically said that at least 3/4 of all the banks in the country are currently experimenting with AI. Okay. In the past, I think cost has been one of the inhibitors, you know, sort of distinguishing in terms of who can basically experiment. But now, thanks to the fact that a lot of the AI, and especially in case of Gen AI, a lot of it is sort of subscription driven on cloud, you can pick and choose in terms of, you know, where you want to go. So this distinction which used to be there is not going to exist anymore. I think there is soon going to be a level playing field. And technology is actually taking it to the next level, right? I mean, we have heard about large language models. Now we are talking about small language models. And if you talk about, you know, AI on phones, it effectively means that, okay, you are going to have tiny language models also sort of coming in.
So just to take that point forward, since generative AI is democratized in a way, and there is no differentiation for a smaller bank or a larger bank in adopting it. So talk to us about the best practices or how foreign banks are seizing this generative AI opportunity. What are they doing differently? What can we learn from what foreign banks are doing that can be applied to the Indian banks today?
I would say fundamental best practices, and I quote this always, is there's no AI without IA, right? Without an information architecture being in place, there's absolutely no way you can create an AI model, right? Which means that if you don't have your data model or your data architecture in place, because fundamental, the food for generative AI or the nutrient for generative AI is data. Right. So if the data is not really in place and if you don't have that architecture well laid out, no AI will scale. You could have the best of the models, the best of the people out there. You will never, ever succeed. Right. So that's one one critical area. I think the second critical area would be in terms of be ruthless about, there could be multiple use cases. I've seen, we have seen organizations where they're trying to touch every single facet of AI. Oh, can I have AI in this? Can I have AI in this, right? But if you don't have a ruthless prioritization of which use cases would deliver the maximum benefit for the organization, you would be all over the place in the area of documentation, could be in the client experience or employee experience, so on and so forth, right? So ruthless prioritization of the use cases. The third is obviously is very important is in terms of the governance or the ethics part of the AI, which is a very, very important practice, right? And I'll give you a small example, which we did with one of the banks in India. I was sharing with Avinash the other day as well. So we were trying to do a pilot with one of the banks, and this was for an application of a loan. And there was an AI model which is trying to say that whether this loan will be approved or not based on the form which is filled up, right, digitally. Right. So there was a name, there was a caste, there was a marital status, age, all the relevant parameters out there. And then it gave the answer, the loan is approved or not approved. The question is, one of the person said that, okay, if I don't change the salary and the monetary part of that application, and if I just change the name and the marital status and the caste or religion, will the answer still be a no, right? And that's being explaining the AI responsibly, right? Is the AI getting biased because of some parameters is probably not the direction which you need to go. So the third most important thing is ethics part of the AI is one of the best practices, which is very, very important because the fundamental of any technology is trust. We have done a large scale in one of the UK-based commercial retail bank where we did a lot of automation of enhancing their chatbot into a generative AI kind of a model for their consumers and also reduce the time of processing of some of their products which they were selling to the consumers, right? So, and also reduce the time taken to give that response to clients as well. So it almost reduced by about 30 to 40%, right? And they could deploy that staff into much more higher productive work and sell more value-add products. So we have one such which is there. We are doing a lot of pilots in India as well around many of these, especially on the customer experience, even on the security part also, as proactive threat hunting of the bad actors. Right? How do you proactively leverage generative AI into a proactive threat hunting is another piece which is coming up in security. So these are a wide variety of pilots and some of the best practices which we take through.
Well put. Avinash, coming to just trying to understand from you the key barriers to adopting generative AI. So what are the key barriers? Right now, three-fourths of the banks are experimenting with generative AI. But what holds them back?
So let me put it this way. There is no cost barrier in terms of, experimentation. Obviously, when you're trying to scale out at that particular point of time, you will have to look at costs. But from a question of adoption and experimentation, it's a level playing field at this particular point of time. In case of classical AI, we were typically working with structured data. In case of generative AI, we are actually looking at a lot of, content which needs to be at point of time created. Let's look at OpenAI. How did OpenAI sort of, come up with the entire consumerization aspect of it? It has gone and basically sort of, looked at the entire internet. That has become its feeder. And basis that, it's able to sort of, come up with a response. Now, at banks, do we have all the content in terms of answering each and every question? Now, there is a whole bunch of things which is there on, say, every banking website itself, right? But a lot of that could be around the product. If there's a newcomer who joins the bank, he will be able to pitch the product purely basis, this particular content, which GenAI will be able to translate and sort of, tell him about. But how is he going to translate that particular content in terms of, his normal operations? That effectively means that, at the back end, there has to be a standard operating procedure, which will basically tell this guy that, this is what you got to do. And these are the steps that you got to take, right? Now, I think different banks, different institutions will be at different levels of maturity in terms of, how well evolved are these documentations. So while AI, GenAI will summarize a lot of documents, but for it to generate patterns, for it to actually give you the right answers, it also needs content to feed on. So this is a massive activity. And different organizations are at different stages.
Okay. And content creation and updation of that, I presume, will be a bit of a cost takeout play too. A little bit of an expensive. What about the regulatory aspect, the evolving regulatory landscape? What about culture? Are these acting as barriers? Are these resistances?
Yeah, so I will say when we did one of the surveys, I don't remember, when we did with a lot of clients globally within IBM, some of the top, I would say, barriers or I would say roadblocks to adoption of generative AI at scale was, one is AI is complex, right? So which is the right model? What is it? It's complex. It's about, second one was primarily on, as I said, data was a big problem. Third was, it was a culture shift, right? What, to the point earlier Avinash made and I also mentioned, is how do I get the repetitive mundane tasks more and more automated and so on and so forth? And that culture shift is also one of the roadblocks or impediments to adoption of Gen AI at scale, right? But having said all of that, I think what is really required is fundamentally 3-4 things where organizations have gone past that and have been able to adopt generative AI successfully. One is in terms of cross-collaboration, right? So as Avinash mentioned, right, it's just not about one use case of one department. It could cut across multiple departments within an organization, be it a bank or be it a retail industry or a process of manufacturing. It doesn't really matter. It's cutting across all of that, right? And second thing is, how do we get the data efficiency piece in place? If these two, and agility, right? And agility to go and experiment, fail fast, but then learn and keep moving on that. The good news where organizations have really come across, and especially banks, is where AI was actually a post-facto thought probably a year or two or a couple of years back, now it's become the first thought.
Let's talk about responsible AI, Vishy. What exactly is it and why is it important?
We organizations are going to make decisions based on the responses coming out of this AI model, right? And that's why the phrase of responsible AI comes in, and we lead the pack in terms of how we... What it basically fundamentally tells us 3-4 things. One is it doing with fairness? Is it non-biased? Is it transparent? And is it flexible, right? Fundamentally, it says that if I'm able to give a transparent screen and show the explainability of the answer or the outcome which is being prompted for, and I'm able to explain or observe the complete pipeline of that AI model, then yes, you can always. And the example which I gave earlier, right? If there was person A and person B applying for a bank loan, if I just change few parameters other than the salary or the income part of it, will the outcome remain same? If the outcome is going to be different, then it's a biased AI, right? It's not the right form, right? Just because a woman is applying or a man is applying, you get a different rating, right? So that is fundamentally responsible AI, right? And what goes along with that for us to evolve to that journey is fundamentally governance layer, right? And when you talk about governance, we talk about governance just not at a data level, but you talk governance in terms of how do you monitor the entire outcome of what you prompted for from the AI model. And that's where the WatsonX and IBM is a platform which gives all of that.
Okay. Avinash, just to come in on this particular point, right? The outcome that generative AI gives has to be fair, transparent, non-biased, and flexible, right? Banks are built on trust. What strategies can a bank employ to ensure that?
I think Vishy sort of gave a example of on the lending side. I mean, very seriously, there was, a case study which was sort of referred to us, where, there was a software service provider who's essentially doing, identification of mule accounts. And basis those particular patterns, I mean, they were essentially sort of coming with a model in terms of, which accounts should be allowed to be opened. And apparently in the model, there was a little bit of a flaw where certain geographies were completely getting eliminated, right? Now, unless and until there is an explainability around the same, it is going to be practically impossible for you to identify it, right? And because effectively this is something which is actually happening, absolutely on the fly. The guy who's sort of opening the account, he has absolutely no clue in terms of, Why is the software prompting back that, okay, this account should be opened or not opened, right? Hence, it is extremely important that, okay, to the, again, reiterating the point which Vishy made, how is this particular model arriving at a particular answer? I mean, we need an absolute transparency around the same. There's a little bit of a work, but it is doable.
Avinash, so what are the guardrails that you're putting in place at Axis Bank?
See, the first and foremost thing is that it is very easy to get swept away, you know, by this entire Gen AI, hype cycle, which is all around us, right? We very early into the day sort of realized the fact that it's important that, you know, we test the waters ourselves before we sort of, you know, offer it to our consumers. So our initial set of experiments have all happened, you know, for our own employee base. For example, when it comes to content reading, content grounding, and giving responses around the same, I mean, all of that has been exposed today to our employees. So the entire laboratory of experimentation is currently happening with our own employees before we are likely to offer it to our consumers, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we've got to sort of, you know, consume whatever we are sort of, you know, dishing out, right? And because of that, we are sort of taking a double cautious view in terms of, you know, having a fairly elongated pilot process, as you may sort of call it, where our employees are themselves sort of using our own internal knowledge repository. The other thing that we are essentially also trying to see is how can we start scoring and giving some kind of a feedback loop in terms of whether this particular response has actually met the levels of consumer expectations. So today our employees are sort of, you know, giving that particular feedback to us, and we use the particular feedback to sort of, you know, try to retrain our models internally. And hopefully we should be able to carry forward all this particular learning before we start offering it to the, our customers at large.
Okay. Just one final question. And the question is, what next? As technology evolves, so does banking. The needs of customers evolve. So what's next, you know, using this technology and all the technology that's available to us, what's next in terms of innovation, growth for banks?
Yeah, so I would say this is an evolution, right? From the time you went to branches to mobile, banking on the mobile, now banking as you think, probably what prompts the banks to the consumers and so on and so forth, technology plays a very vivid role, right? So probably this generative AI journey could transform the way we would actually bank, right? Or the experience we would get, because use cases are galore, right? It's just not one particular use case. It'll just keep evolving. And as the term says, generative AI, the more new data sets it evolves, the more use cases give birth to, right? So that's where I would see directionally moving from a banking and technology space.
Okay. Avinash, same question to you. Will generative AI disrupt the banking industry? Will it disrupt Axis Bank? Or will it just be a driving force for continuous for innovation?
See, it's going to be a driving force for innovation, okay? I won't use the word disruption, purely because I think everybody out there has realized the fact that, okay, I mean, this is almost like the internet moment. I mean, you've got to sort of adapt to it. Hence, I think every banking player, big or small, is going to sort of, do their own experiments. The more important thing is, what are those experiments and by when will it start, affecting our consumers, customers positively? How do we start giving, absolute personalized nudges to our customers? Now, these are nudges which should basically, elicit a wow from the customer themselves. We can start looking at in terms of, moving it to an advisory function. These are areas which are, there's immense amount of scope. So the next 5-7 years, I think, even if you were to sort of list out all the items that we have in our mind, I'm fairly certain that it'll be a little bit of a miracle if you're actually able to achieve all of that. But hopefully, as banks learn and Gen AI also sort of, ends up becoming a lot smarter, we will also find, various means of doing things a lot more efficiently and faster.
Avinash, Vishy, this has been a great conversation. Thank you very much for joining us. And with that, we're going to conclude our special podcast episode of CNBC TV 18 Presents AI Dialogues in association with IBM. It's clear that the transformative potential of AI, generative AI in BFSI industry is boundless and limitless. We've had the privilege of learning, hearing from Avinash Raghavendra, President IT Axis Bank, and Vishwanath Ramaswamy, Vice President Technology Leader at IBM, who've explained how AI is not just a tool, but a catalyst, a driving force for change in the banking and financial services landscape. And by embracing AI technologies, organizations can stay ahead of the curve, delivering value to their customers, their own employees, and all stakeholders alike.
CNBC TV18 presents the AI Dialogues in association with IBM.